Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to Caged In Presents Coppola Connections, as ever, brought to you by the Breadcrumbs Collective and hosted by me, Petros Patsilivas. Today, we're here to talk about a fiasco. One that involves vodka pasta, a chartered helicopter, Nepo babies, onions, garlic, shallots, and a babysitter boyfriend named Ari. To help me solve the mystery of this viral TikTok, Sofia Coppola, Thomas Mars' reluctance for their daughter to step into the spotlight, and how to make vodka pasta, is a friend of the pod, host of the W-rated podcast, and one of the three people who insisted I make this episode, Claire Ellen Hope. How are you, Claire?
Hello, I am good. Renowned as being something of a fiasco myself, so just felt like I was honoured to be invited on. You know, this is a very important and worthy entry into the Coppola canon. You have to cover it, and I'm just delighted to be along for the ride.
100%. I just come out of a screening of Infinity Pawns, kind of getting a train home, and then saw your tweet, and then kind of just ignored my friend who I was with, and kind of like said to him like, I'm not going to show you this on a train because that is bad etiquette to play something out loud. Like, I'm a 32-year-old man. I'm too old for that shit. I'm the wrong generation. I'm a Y, not a Z. So didn't show. I've sent it to you. This is important, basically, was what I was suggesting to him. And then just kind of found myself sifting through the replies on a tweet that had posted it and kind of like being like, I got to ask you off the bat, what were your kind of initial reactions seeing? Was it a thing of outrage, or was it like, this is hilarious?
Wonderment. I immediately called my housemate into my room. I was like, you have to watch this. This is hysterical. Because I love like people spilling shit they shouldn't tell. Yeah. So I love when you find shit out that you shouldn't find out. And I loved the brazenness of it, the no shits given. And I was just like, and I was like, Jenny, get in here. And I was like, this is Sofia Coppola's daughter, and like played it, and she loves The Virgin Suicides. So she started watching it, and just at every part, like when the knife comes out, and then when she's like, my parents have a heart, just every bit of it. My housemate was like, oh God, oh, she's in so much trouble.
Yeah, and like the fact, like what we've got, like, There is just a single shot of her like holding a Grammy, which for like the kind of uninitiated for the Coppola dynasty would be like, oh, maybe she might be holding an Oscar or something, but a Grammy. And it's kind of like, oh no, she's from like pedigree stock is Romy Mars, who is, yeah, half Sofia Coppola and half Thomas Mars, who is the lead singer of the French electro pop band Phoenix. Who, funny enough, you mentioned The Virgin Suicides. Mm-hmm. His voice is featured on the song Playground Love under his kind of other moniker, which is Gordon Tracks, which, like,
because that's how they met, isn't it? On like doing the music for that, which is nice.
Yeah, and every soundtrack I think since has had one of their needle drops in it, because it's like, she's probably like, no, it's cheaper than Air. I could probably get Air to do it, but I can get Phoenix for a better rate, or the money comes back into our bank account. It's kind of like a snake eating its own tail. Well, before we get, like, because there is a lot to kind of delve into in a 49-second clip, but before we do,
I mean, 500 words worth for me, so, you know, that's 100 words per second.
Amazing. Well, yeah, before we get to that, I just wanted to talk about something that's kind of hot off the press, is the trailer for Wes Anderson's new film, Asteroid City. And by the looks of it, I saw the poster drop yesterday, time of recording, and my interest was piqued because the way it was listed with the cast, the top name was Jason Schwartzman. And there was part of me was like, is this just like, hey, you haven't got a story by credit on this one, I'll help you out on the poster. But then like, he just turns up for like a small role. But it looks like Jason Schwartzman is the motherfucking lead of this movie to some degree, which is like, got me excited. And obviously this film is, yeah, story by credit, Roman Coppola's on there as well. So this is very much a firm Coppola connections film. I must ask you, what were your kind of initial reactions to the trailer for Asteroid City, Claire?
Excited, but kind of muted excitement in the best way. In that, like, I love a Wes Anderson film.
Mm-hmm.
And so people that don't like Wes Anderson films, this ain't going to be for you.
Yes.
It's exactly what I would expect when you tell me it's a Wes Anderson film. It's all the beats, all the colours, all the kind of odd stylistic choices, and the stillness of the camera and the kind of tactile fake scenery and so many like familiar faces and the just like the music and the soundtrack. As I get, this is the shit, put it in my veins. I'm just, tell me when it's out and I'll be there and I'll let it wash over me.
What were the things that you kind of picked up on, like on this first viewing of the trailer, like that stood out to you?
I'm quite excited because I didn't really know anything about it, and I had not attempted to find out anything about it other than I knew it was in production when the French Dispatch came out. So I was like, cool, we'll get another one soon. I'm delighted that it's gone back to like a full narrative, or at least seems to be a full narrative, much as I did really enjoy the French Dispatch. I'm quite excited that it looks like there'll be kind of an element of kids in it.
Yes.
And I adore Moonrise Kingdom, and Anderson brought out such amazing performances in those young stars, and I know you've had one of them on the pod before to talk about that. So I'm excited that there's an element of kids in this, and I'm also excited that there looks like grief might be an element in it, which Darjeeling Limited is probably one of the ones I've seen the least, but Darjeeling Limited is such a special film because of that element of grief in it. So again, it feels like he's kind of bringing a few things he's done before together.
Yeah.
So,
we get that kind of shot that top and tails the trailer of the train on a tracks, which looks like a miniature, but like immediately my kind of heart was warmed because I was like, oh, this is giving me Darjeeling Limited vibes. Mm-hmm. And like this kind of tale, it looks like a tale of something that Wes Anderson is kind of famed for, is these parental relationships throughout his films, whether even like the Moonrise Kingdom with Sam and Bruce Willis's character, there's this kind of, and Susie and her parents and the kind of fractures there. But I thought the casting of Jake Ryan as Jason Schwartzman's son, like immediately was like, we've got Jake Ryan back, who is fantastic in Moonrise Kingdom as one of the Bishop kids.
Mm-hmm.
And weirdly is all over the director's commentary for that film as well. It kind of goes into these weird elements. It's like Wes Anderson, Bill Murray, and then yeah, Jake Ryan there as well, who like at one point he's like, oh, we got a piano in the room, Jake, could you play us something? So he's like, there was a really precocious little kid, and this kind of like looks the spitting image of Jason Schwartzman as well. It's kind of like amazing casting. What do you think to the, like, obviously we've got a lot of familiar faces in this, and a lot of the ones listed on the poster we don't even see in this trailer.
Yeah, Margot Robbie, suspiciously hidden is she going to be the alien?
Yeah, or Brian Cranston, Ed Norton, do you know what I mean? Like,
is it the, not to spoil the trailer, but, you know, there's hints of aliens. So I'm like, now anyone who's a decent name who wasn't in the trailer, I'm like, I wonder if they're the aliens, because we don't see the aliens.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think, like, what kind of, like, there's like weird, like, kind of Spielberg, as much as like Wes Anderson very much has his aesthetic and like his filmmaking style, the subject matter feels like it's kind of out of the Spielberg playbook. And there are kind of subtle nods. There's that you get a shot of this kind of tunnel, this like kind of perspex, like created tunnel. That kind of, yeah, that to keep people clean as they come out of things, that just immediately reminded me of E.T. And you've kind of got an element of Close Encounters of the Third Kind with like this alien coming down and stuff like that, and the kind of setting of the, yeah, the like Arizona.
Would this be Anderson's first like genre film kind of thing? Like, because most of his other films, if not all of them, are just like kind of straight dramas with obviously comedy. But they feel so fantastical because of the hijinks that ensue. So I kind of, it doesn't strike me as odd. Like if you took another director that had only done drama, like Sofia Coppola, and you know, told me she was suddenly doing an alien film, I'd be like, excuse me, what? But because he always does these like larger than life, but smaller than life, fantastical, like isn't like magical realism almost. Just the fact that there's an alien is going to be there. I'm like, yeah, makes sense. Let it happen.
Yeah. And it's great that kind of, it seems to be that Wes Anderson, and I guess like this would be, if it is a kind of like trilogy of films with the Grand Budapest Hotel, French Dispatch, and now this, of like period set films, because kind of the films before that, and I guess Moonrise Kingdom is kind of very much like dived into like period set stuff. Whereas before then it was kind of in this never land of when is it? Do you know what I mean? You have something like the Royal Tenenbaums. It's like, well, it looks like the 70s, but then there's like kind of modern quirks. There's like mobile phones and stuff like that. And it's like, where are we? Whereas like this is like, it feels very 1950s, like from the outset, the kind of cars and stuff like that. And So, well, yeah, what other new additions to this? Obviously, a big one is Tom Hanks. What are your kind of like thoughts of Tom Hanks joining? Does he fit the Wes-verse?
There's been some slandering from me over our dear friend Mr. Hanks this year, because I did over on W Rated, we covered the Razzies, and he was nominated twice for his work in Pinocchio and Elvis. And, you know, I might have slandered the good name of a good man and a good actor because I didn't disagree with those nominations. So I'm really hoping that this will bring Tom back. This seems like a role that I want him in. He's doing a tiny, teeny, tiny bit of accent work, which, you know, it's not a strong suit. I really don't know why. He has a beautiful voice. Maybe it's because now that voice belongs to Woody. But I'm like, just let Tom Hanks speak like he speaks.
Yeah.
But the kind of effectiveness of this is mostly just trying to make him sound a little bit older and gravelier. So I'm really excited to see what he does with this, because to be honest, has Hanks, other than kind of the big older kind of directors, he's not really worked with any of kind of the newer generation, like the indie darlings of the 21st century. So it's nice. You can't recall Wes Anderson an indie darling anymore.
Yeah.
But it's nice to see.
He's of that 90s crop as opposed to that 70s crop of directors. He's not in the kind of Spielberg and Zemeckis like realms. He's somebody who is clearly inspired by filmmakers of that generation. Yeah, and it's great to see him, like Steve Carell popping up, Hope Davis. Like I was like, immediately was like, it feels like I was like, looked at her character and the kind of way she acts. I was like, immediately was like, oh, it feels like her and Judy Greer probably go up for a lot of the same roles, right? Like that could have easily been a Judy Greer role. And I was like,
oh my God, why hasn't Judy Greer been in an Anderson film? That would just be the most beautiful. I saw someone tweet today, like, what actor that's not worked with Anderson would you love to see? And I saw someone say Paul Dano. And I was like, hell yes. And now I'm like, oh my God, I want Paul Dano and Judy Greer's in a Wes Anderson film together. Just to blow up the Paul Dano Boys' podcast. Also just because to blow up my heart. Oh my God, and imagine Zoe Kazan in a Wes Anderson film. Yeah. Sorry, I'm now dream casting his next project.
Yeah.
Let's stick to this project. I'm really excited to see Scarlett Johansson there.
Mm-hmm.
Because for years I forgot what a good actress Scarlett Johansson is. You know, she's done work in the start of her career of some amazing people like Sofia Coppola. And then she just got stuck for such a long time there, being like the bombshell. And then she tried to do some sci-fi stuff, which I didn't think always worked for her. So it's really nice, like the last kind of 5 years or so, to see her kind of got almost going back to her roots and being allowed to kind of take a few risks. I mean, she's got that Marvel money now, so she can do what she wants. But it's nice to see her take a role like this, because I always feel like she's better in an ensemble, mm-hmm. and she's better off kilter. I think she has better comedic timing and better like quirks than we and most scripts give her credit for.
Yeah.
Because most scripts are like, she's a blonde bombshell, so that's all she'll do. And it's like, she has so much more.
Yeah, and this trailer very much like pits it that her and Jason Schwartzman are going to like kind of be sparring partners for a lot of scenes. Like, there's this kind of great shots of them inside of like their respective houses talking like back and forth through their windows, and like
such beautiful shots.
Yeah, it's just I'm excited. What do you think about the setting as well? This kind of like Arizona desert setting. It's Spain. I mean, it's Spain, like doubling for that as well. Which
I love it. Didn't realize that. I love it because I, especially when I was younger, like was mad into like Americana. Because
mm-hmm.
it's like people that grew up in the UK, like that kind of like 1950s Americana aesthetic was something that we were told to covet. And like, I know not everyone did, but oh my God, I did so much. I wanted to like wear big skirts like in Greece and go to a diner and drive a baby blue convertible. Like, that's so, it just feeds into like a nostalgia that I never lived. But like, I love that aesthetic anyway. And I always love Anderson's aesthetic. So it feels like a perfect pairing. And kind of retro stuff seems to be in. There's like a new Apple TV show of a similar ilk. So like, seems like that kind of vintagey style might be due for a comeback.
Yeah, it's really exciting, that setting, and it kind of feels, I don't know, somewhat new, somewhat kind of like treading back into that Darjeeling Limited world of kind of using sand and dust and kind of like beautiful but like stark landscape. And It automatically, it's like, oh, it's got that shoebox diorama style of Wes Anderson. And it very much is, yeah, like, I put it out to Twitter, like, what people are thinking about this trailer. And immediately, like, I got a tweet from a friend of mine, James Hunt, who said, it's stylish white noise to me, to be honest, but I'm sure I'll watch it anyway. And then I got a tweet that is possibly the most unhinged and beautiful tweet I've ever read, or at least for a long time, and it kind of very much indicates the polarizing nature of Wes Anderson and his work. It simply says, I watched 3 seconds of it. I hate it so much. I hate Wes Anderson. It fills me with anger. I irrationally hate him so much. When it comes out, I will force myself to watch it. And it might be the one to make me get it. I won't make it 10 minutes. That was from, I'm going to put him on blast as well. That was from at Satsuma_hat. So Satsuma hat, hats off to you, man. My response was, I guess it's different strokes for different folks, right? It's kind of like, and that is, if you're not into Wes Anderson, and
we all have that one thing. Mine is the actress Lily James. She keeps being in things that I want to see, and I try and watch the trailer, and just she starts speaking, and my whole body just recoils into itself, and I'm like, I can't do it. Like, I'm sure she's a lovely, lovely girl, but her acting just makes my skin crawl.
Mm-hmm.
And so clearly for Mr. Satsuma, Mr. Anderson's directing style and aesthetics do the same thing, you know. He's missing out, but some people don't like joy.
Yeah, it's just that thing of like, and I haven't yet taken the time to look into all of the, because immediately when a Wes Anderson project is announced or kind of a trailer drops, the discourse on Wes Anderson starts up again.
Oh,
like, do you know what I mean? All the kind of age-old stuff of, All he is aesthetics. There's no kind of lifeblood to these films and stuff like that. And it's like, yeah, but he's the only filmmaker who's doing what he's doing. Like, even as a technician, he's fucking phenomenal. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, no other movies look like this. And it's like, whether good or bad, like, what you look at it, but they're beautiful original stories that, like, and it's, I don't know. What do people, it always begs me the question, like, what do people want? They clamber for new and fresh stuff. Like, we don't want remakes. We don't want IP. And then you get something like this, which is, I guess by this point, kind of Wes Anderson is kind of an IP in itself, right? He kind of is his own genre and stuff like that. So, like, people are like, I don't know, what do you want him to do? Do you know what I mean? Like, you get Wes Anderson to make a Wes Anderson film. You don't get Wes Anderson to direct, I don't know, a crime thriller. Like, it just ain't going to be the one.
That is my only disappointment, though it's also a slight relief, in that a long time ago, like I'm talking like 2019, 2020, there were rumours that, I don't know if it was this film or The French Dispatch, but that his next film would be a musical.
Yes.
And so I had hoped that this could be a musical. Having now seen the trailer, I'm still absolutely delighted with it. And I think I would be a bit apprehensive about seeing a musical of his, just because I have absolutely no idea where it would go. I love musicals, so I would hope if he ever does decide to do a musical that it will be wonderful. But at the same time, it's sort of like, better the devil you know. I think I take comfort in the familiarity.
Well, the only thing I would love with that is there would probably be lyrics and lyrics by Jarvis Cocker, who himself is kind of like, can write witty and funny stuff. Like Pulp's whole catalogue is mm-hmm. prime example of that. And it would be beautiful arrangements by Alexander Desplat. So mm-hmm. it's kind of like,
maybe one day.
Wes, yeah, pull your finger out your ass and get it happening. Like, we're getting two Wes Anderson films this year, this and the kind of, I think it's the Henry Sugar Roald Dahl film he's made mm-hmm. as well, Rupert Friend. So hopefully after that he'll get the musical bug and jump on that train.
I feel like he should collaborate with Taylor Swift and get Taylor that Oscar.
She's going for that EGOT, baby.
She's desperate for it. The poor girl's fucking multi-billionaire or something. But you know, she won't rest until she gets it. So just let's put her out of her misery.
Well, mentioning Taylor Swift feels like the perfect pivot. Somebody who is au fait with chartering private jets. Let's talk about a fiasco involving a chartered helicopter. So, Claire, where do you want to start with this whole ordeal? With this 49 minutes. If it's 49 minutes, it would be a Safdie Brothers movie. Jesus. This 49 seconds of kind of elation and confusion and joy.
I want to start with the stylistic choice that she makes straight off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
The speed and the high-pitched. Is this a choice due to the constraints of the TikTok form? Or is this an artistic choice to drive out the mania and the chaos of the story?
Well, I know that TikTok, you can have quite lengthy videos on TikTok, like... Yeah, you can have more than 49 seconds for sure. Like, I don't know.
So it's a stylistic choice, which I love.
Yeah.
It's a perfect choice, in my opinion. Because as well, like, if it was just at normal speed, like, yeah, I'm grounded because I tried to chart a helicopter. Like, you'd be like, all right, hun. But because, like, I tried to do this. I tried to do this. And you're like, whoa, okay, we are on a roller coaster and I'm strapping in.
That, like, yeah, that and it shows and I guess this is a question to ask is where do you fall on this being like a serious, like she's being genuine and sincere, or do you think that she's kind of playing up to, because I don't know, I'm still trying to figure it out myself, and maybe we can kind of figure this out together for this chat.
I think it's too good to not be real. I just because it's so nonsensical and it's just so chaotic that I feel like if you tried to plan it, the beats wouldn't hit.
Mm-hmm.
It's messy and stupid and silly and all over the place, which is what like a teenage girl's mind is. And I think she probably planned it in that she probably like filmed. I'm sure there are loads of outtakes mm-hmm. and things like that, because I mean, TikTok is like that. But I feel like she was just like, it's the ultimate act of like teenage rebellion of like, I did a thing and I think my parents have overreacted, but I'm already in the most trouble I can be in. So now I might as well get myself in more trouble because what else can they do to me? It was like, oh, babes, I worry slightly for her. I'm like, I worry for Ari. I worry for the babysitter and Ari. But I think it was. I think it is real. Okay. I don't think it was planned. And I don't think Sofia Coppola would allow something like that out.
Yeah, so she is somebody who, like, famously throughout her life has kind of been like not thrust in like a kind of stage mum way, but I think like a pride from her dad Francis, but like kind of a young age spent years on film sets and was at premieres and everything, and like it feels like, I don't know, I guess the Godfather 3 kind of situation was a turning point for her, kind of wanted nothing to do with filmmaking, and then eventually like did go back into it with the Virgin Suicides, kind of almost out of a necessity that somebody else was going to ruin her favorite book, so she's like, I'll just write a script, see how it goes, and then she gets to ends up getting to make it. But yeah, what do you think to that whole thing, and like, do you think that is the kind of nexus point to why she kind of has this attitude towards her own daughters, which I think is perfectly fair? I'm not kind of poo-pooing Sophia in this.
I think that's it. Like, I do not blame a woman in this world, let alone a woman who grew up in the spotlight, let alone a woman in an industry that has been so predatory towards women and young women. I cannot blame her for trying to protect her young children. And, you know, she is a teenager and she seems like a baby adult in this video, but she is a child. You know, for all intents and purposes. And I cannot blame Sofia Coppola for wanting to protect her from the outside world. And in the video, she says, like, I'm not allowed a public TikTok. So it implies she's allowed a private one. She probably has it with her friends. Probably, you know, a little bit of supervision about who she can have follow her and vice versa. So what I would also say about, like, this video just made me respect this young girl so much. She seems to have charisma. She seems to have a great sense of humor. She seems to have really good comedic timing. Mm-hmm. And she seems to, like, be well-spoken, well-educated. You know, the joke about, like, Women's History Month. She knows shit's going on. So, like, that strikes me as someone who has been well-educated, well-brought-up, and well-mannered. And apart from the whole helicopter thing. But, like, I don't think it is a bad thing that they have tried to shield her from what is a horrific industry to young women.
Yeah.
And it's that thing of, you know, you hear people like the stars of Glee talk about it, and you hear people who, you know, were thrust into, like, the stars of even One Tree Hill who were pre-social media. They're like, you know, we got these jobs at 21 and we were still babies and no one prepared us for the invasion of every element of our life. Mm-hmm. And once you are out there, you can never go back in. So absolutely, I think, and like protecting her from social media and like making her be a cat, like, you know, we're part of the problem. This poor girl released a TikTok and now we're a bunch of adults sat dissecting it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I love it. I'm a bored woman and this was hilarious to me. But like, I think they are right to protect her. I also think she is getting to an age where she's going to make her own choices. It's a messy situation.
Yeah. Do you think it's that situation as well where like your parents are so against something that it's like, but like that is almost going to like push her into being like, I'm going to be an actress. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
I think it's the thing of like, so she went too far with the helicopter. I think the act of rebellion of wanting to sneak out and see your friend and wanting to steal money from your parents is somewhat natural, especially like, I think a lot of teenagers have, you know, tried to sneak out to see a friend their parents don't like or lied to their parents about like who they're hanging out with. And I think a lot of people have probably like pinched a tenner from their parents' bag or pocket or whatever. So, like, she has just done this on an insane scale by stealing a credit card to charter a helicopter because she comes from an insane world of excess and wealth and luxury. But if we scale it down, it's a normal act of teen rebellion, just on a very expensive scale. And so I think it is that kind of thing of like, well, I just wanted to do a simple thing of seeing my friend because I'm a teenage girl and she was probably lonely and they've now grounded her and she sees it as really unfair. She's like, well, fuck you. You've ruined my life. So I'm not going to respect your rules anymore. And yeah. Here we are.
So let's go back to the beginning of this video, because it mm-hmm. starts off with her saying, like, I'm grounded. Let's make like vodka pasta sauce.
I mean, choosing an alcoholic sauce. Again, she's just like, fuck my parents. Like, how many ways can I just do all the things that I shouldn't be doing?
And it feels like something to kind of like speak to the Coppola legacy as well. Mm-hmm. Like, Francis has always famously kind of made pasta on set of his movies, or like kind of in the rehearsal process of his films had people at Napa and they would share, like, he'd make pasta dinners for everyone. So mm-hmm. it kind of really fits in. And I can only imagine that Elder Coppola's watching this when she's talking, when she mentions, I don't know the difference between a garlic and onion, that they would be recoiling in absolute terror.
Look, sometimes vegetables are hard. I can't remember what vegetable it was, but I was training to do work at a supermarket till once, and I have no memory of what it was, but something arrived and it was a fruit or a vegetable, and I didn't know what it was, and I just guessed on the system what fruit or veg it was. I had no clue. And the pic, what I was holding in my hand didn't look like any of the pictures, and I didn't know what I was holding. So, like, I was 21 then. So, like, Romy, I feel you. Vegetables are hard.
And it gets cut off, but she says, like, she's cutting a shallot, and she says, this looks like a ball sack. Like, and it's,
and the self-censorship is the perfect, again, that comedic timing, the editing skill, no, like the timing, the tone in. I was like, can you keep this PG? But she wants us to know. And she's obviously watched a lot of like silly videos and things where it always gets, I was like, love it. The scale's watched her stuff.
What are the moments that kind of like, well, yeah, like I've got a tab open here mm-hmm. on how much it would, like, I might do it live and get a quote for how much it would be to charter a helicopter.
So I found a quote for a private jet, and I found a quote for a helicopter to DC from New York, and that's 37 miles too far. So your one might be better.
So let's have a look. So we're going from New York.
And the helicopter, for those out there, should take about 1.5 hours, apparently.
So we're going to do a round trip. So, New York to Maryland. Wait a sec. Let's double back on this. What is the quote that you've got there? Because this is going to take too long for it to come up.
So, the quote I got to hire a private jet is around $7,000.
Wow.
The quote for a helicopter was $10,000.
$10,000.
I was confused as to how that was more expensive than the private jet, but this was very, to steal from the Ringer podcast network, very half-assed internet research. So, you know, they were the rough quotes I got from the first place I looked at. I also just, because I thought about this, and again, talking about like it's an average teenage rebellion. Most kids, if they wanted to go see their friend that lived far away, you know, I did it. I went and saw my friend that lived two counties over, and my parents thought I was seeing my friend who was down the road. Mm-hmm. I just looked up the trip, and then I got a bus, a train, and two more buses. And then I was at her house. So I looked up how far it is from New York to Maryland. So to drive, it would take you on average 3.5 hours. To get the train, on average 2.5 hours. And then the helicopter, approximately 1.5 hours. So I think, like, maybe she's just not used to public transport. But she thought she went too big. She should have just, you know, snuck and gone and got the train. I don't know what the speed issue was. Did she need to be there right there and then?
Yeah.
I don't know. But she might have got away with it if she'd booked a train ticket. She could have gotten that in cash.
Let's see. The thing is, I think the website I am on is actually going to try and email me a quote. So I don't think.
So what I will say is at some times in Dubai, you can get an Uber helicopter. So you can just book a helicopter via Uber in Dubai.
Wow,
so,
you know. That is insane.
Yes. Someone I knew did it by accident. They were pretty miffed.
So yeah, that is like, that is a crazy aspect of it. Obviously, that is like excess of wealth. But like, what other, like, apart from that, that is an act of rebellion. What are the other moments that kind of we should be digging into with this TikTok?
It's the two Family Guy-esque cutscenes for me. The cutscene of her holding the knife. Like, it's when, it's the bit in which she's like, oh, I don't know what an onion or a garlic is. And she's like, I'm so ditzy. And then straight away, blinking, you'll miss it. She's like, but I've got a fucking knife. Like, you know.
Holding it kind of, holding it at base and tip as well, like presenting it.
She's like, don't think I'm so stupid. I don't know how to cut you. Like, I have a knife. And it's like this manic, like, which is why I love the chaos of the whole thing of it. And then also then when they're like, oh, my parents don't want me on TikTok because they don't want me to be, like, she doesn't say a nepo baby, a nepotism kid is what she says. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, because, and then immediately then you get that cut to her holding the Grammy. And, like, those two shots and their timing and the no words, just mm-hmm. blink and you miss it, silent, and then gone. I'm like, oh, beautiful filmmaking. The choices being made, like, she chose a really big knife, the way she holds it, the look into the camera, and then choosing the Grammy over the Oscar. There's so much being said about that choice. What does that tell us?
Yeah,
is it just that it was the near? It could be as simple as the Grammy was in the living room and the Oscar was upstairs.
Yeah, like, maybe I don't know. The Sophia may have an office that is outside of the house that she kind of like when she's writing. Do you know what I mean? I imagine like, and some of it checks out as well. Like, I imagine Sophia at the moment is prepping for or shooting her Priscilla Presley movie, mm-hmm. so that checks out that she might not be in town. Thomas Mars of Phoenix, like, I imagine he's a busy guy, like, they're most likely on tour or working on a new album. Like,
so I think that as well is the best bit of it for me, but also being a sensible adult and a, you know, thinking in a pastoral element, the moment where she says, you know, and this is Ari, he's my babysitter's boyfriend, my parent, like, they're basically my parents because my parents are never home. Oh my God, again, her choice. She looks, just stares down the barrel of the camera as she says that, just dead-eyed. Like, my parents can't ground me because they're not fucking here. And it's such a teenage girl moment. I'm like, oh my God, yes. Like, you could not write a teenage girl better than that because it's pure. Like, teenage girls are mean and they're vicious and they will push every button. They're evil little creatures. I was one and I used to teach them, and so I just love that, like, that venom. It's mm-hmm. like, how dare you ground me in this house and you're not even here? You don't take an interest in my life normally, so you don't get to take an interest now. Which is me, you know, reading onto that. That's like, there's so much implied in this short film that should be nominated for an Oscar. But also then that's incredibly sad. There are a few people, like, I know you said you read some comments. There are a few people that, like, yeah, that does check out. Like, I knew their old babysitter. Someone was like, a friend of a friend of a friend was like, they are never home. The kids are left with, like, babysitters a lot. And it's like, that's also really sad. Like, you want to protect your kids from, and you want to do the good thing and be a good parent and protect your kids from that horrible world. But at the same time, if you're an absent parent, you're also neglecting so many other duties of a parent. So, like, I don't know if the truth, like, as well, I would have said at that age that my mum was never home. My mum worked insane hours and she would often not be home and time off. She'd be visiting her sick mother who lived in a different country. So if you asked me at 14, like, to say something about, oh, well, that bitch is never home. She cares more about her work than her kids. And that's now, I'm an adult who works. She gave us a house. Like, her work was very important. So again, I think there's also an element of an immaturity there of a child. But yeah, I love the viciousness.
And I imagine there are moments where that is the case. Like, mm-hmm. if Sophia is making a film and at that age as well, your mum may be like being off, like doing some work, like feels like it is all the time, where it's like, oh, it's just been like, do you know what I mean? She's been working on a film for the last month. So it's been this period. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, a month feels like a year at like 16.
Oh my God, to a teenage girl, a month could change your entire day can change your entire world. And God bless this poor girl. You know, 49 seconds has, I think, changed her entire world.
So let's talk about some of the other characters who feature in this, and probably the one who probably gets the biggest shine, and I think people have really taken to this guy, is Ari, her unnamed babysitter's boyfriend, who
Ari is a social media ghost. I tried so many search terms on Twitter and on Google, like, who is Ari? Where did he come from? What does he do? I thought there'd be like loads of deep dives. There's nothing. Ari, who are you? If you've ever met Ari, please, you can keep yourself anonymous. Just tell us who he is. Yeah. Tell us about him. Because I've decided he's either a PhD student or an English literature professor. He just gave me that vibe. Gave me the vibe of a guy who reads a lot of books and maybe sits in lectures.
Well, the thing is, like, because she says, what do you think about the fiasco? Like the helicopter fiasco. And he says, like, I like fiascos. It's feminine.
So this is contested on the internet. If you listen to it slowly, she actually says fiasco.
Okay.
So her subtitles say fiasco, and I think it's the way she speaks. It kind of comes out fiasco, and he picks up on that. And he goes, oh, I like fiasco. It's feminine. He has not created that word. He either misheard her say it or she mispronounced it. But again, the young woman created that herself, and we've let this man steal her moment.
And it is perfect to kind of fit into the canon of Sofia Coppola's offspring as well. You could almost say that Sofia Coppola's filmography is all about female fiascos. Do you know what I mean? Like from the Virgin Suicides to the Bling Ring. Do you know what I mean? They're all kind of these.
I mean, you could take Romy out of this and put her into the Bling Ring just without missing a beat. She fits perfectly. Like, you know, she'd be stealing the money to hire jets, but maybe that's it. She was like, well, you made a movie about people stealing credit cards, so why can't I steal a credit card?
Yeah, and they're like, she's really, I can imagine the conversation is like, I made that film as a warning, as the kind of like perverse joy that people have and this kind of want to be famous. And it's like, did you not heed the warnings? And I imagine for Romy, watching her mum's films would probably be like, ugh. Do you know what I mean? Ugh. Like, no, thank you. Like, yeah. Everyone says you're great, but nah, not for me.
Maybe that's why she did the Grammy and not the Oscar.
Yeah, I think that really opens up a big question, right? The whole choice of the Grammy. And it's I don't know, I think it's a... That's what makes me think some of it is put on. I don't know. I want to believe that it's just beautifully staged and she is an amazing actress.
I think it's put on by her.
Yes.
But I do not think this has been put out there by the Coppola family. I just...
Not in that way. No, not in that way. No.
Oh, yeah, no, I think she fought long and hard. Like, I'd love to think she didn't. It's just an agent of chaos. But again, like... It's that thing of like kids do wild and wacky stuff because they think it'll be hilarious, and it worked out this time and it was good for her. But she might have just been like, oh my God, it'd be really funny if I hold up one of their awards. Like, she never mentions who they are. She's just like, my parents don't want me to be a nepotism kid. And she just holds up a Grammy and you're like, whose Grammy is that? Like,
yeah. Because Phoenix won it for their album, their 2009 album, Amadeus. Wolfgang Amadeus Phoenix. Fantastic album if you haven't listened to it.
I haven't, no. But I just love, like, at no point does she say, hi, my name's Romy. Hi, yes. I'm the daughter of. She just is like, I'm not allowed to have a TikTok and I tried to steal a jet and let's make some vodka and what's an onion? Like, she's just rolling. She's just rolling.
And I think, like, it is that kind of use of that shot of the Grammy that makes me think, especially when she, like, it follows that line about being a nepotism kid. It's like she knows. She's kind of poking fun at nepotism kids because she says the lines like, oh, it's not like TikTok's going to make me famous.
Oh, you sweet, innocent child.
She's a 16-year-old girl who probably knows that TikTok makes loads of people famous. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? The fact that we have the term in 2023, TikTok famous, is like, oh, do you know what I mean? Are they famous? Oh, well, they're TikTok famous. Or they're Instagram famous. They kind of think like, they're YouTube famous. They are different. Like, they kind of don't penetrate into the mainstream of kind of like, you can ask a man, like, do you know what I mean? A person on the street, and they'll go, oh, yeah, I know who that person is. But you ask a 16-year-old, they'll be like, hey, I'm scrolling through their content all the time. Like,
I mean, my biggest question at the end of all of this, though it should be Where Is Part 2, it's are the babysitter and Ari okay? Because I'm really deeply concerned, even more so than concerned for Romy, I'm genuinely really concerned that the babysitter lost their job. And I'm also concerned that Ari may have been dumped, because I don't love that if this was completely off the bat and she was being wild, that she involved him if he didn't know she was doing it. Because it's implied that she's allowed private stuff. So, you know, he might not have known that this was a public thing.
Mm-hmm.
He probably thought she was just messing around on her phone, that she probably does all the time. It's probably a private video. And so I do get anxiety every time I watch it because he's great and he's a wonderful character. But I'm like, oh God, like, did his partner lose their job? And also, like, is that just the worst fight you and your partner have ever had? Because he's going to get all of that blame.
And it looks like as well that Ari has a really strong bond with their dog.
Yeah.
Who from sifting through the replies, I found out his name is Noki.
Best name for a dog. I liked all of that. So good.
Which perfectly like ties back into The Godfather Part 3, because there is a scene of Sofia Coppola learning how to make gnocchi from Andy Garcia's character. And it's like, that kind of breaks my heart as well. That it's like, as much as that film was pain for her, that's what she went on to name her dog. And like,
gnocchi.
Yeah. You can imagine Ari is probably like a man about town of Manhattan kind of. People know him. It's like, it's Ari and Noki. Like, he's always knocking about at the Coppola's house. And now it's like, kind of like, oh, well, like people see him at the bodega and be like, hey Ari, like, how comes I don't see you Noki anymore? And he's like, well, did you see that TikTok that went viral? Like,
that's what I mean. I'm like, oh, God. Because it's like, if he was complicit in it, then, oh, that's some dicey choices, mister. But if he wasn't complicit in it, oh, that's really mean that his life might now be fucked up. So I'm like, oh, I really need, like, I saw people being like, has anyone done a welfare check on Romy? And I'm like, has anyone done a welfare check on Ari? Like, is he okay?
There has been so much great content to come out of this. I saw, I think I shared it to you. There was a picture of Kirsten Dunst in The Virgin Suicides, and it's like, Sofia Coppola's daughter, now she's been Virgin Suicides grounded. she had a regular grounding, and then like, I feel like now it's like, yeah, Sofia's come home and she's dragged the records down the stairs and she's burning them on the fire, kind of.
And that was like a thought that I had, like, it's an interesting thing, and maybe, like, you know, you're a parent obviously to a much younger child at this stage. I'm not a parent, though I did dabble in secondary teaching. Like, how do you ground children in this day and age?
Yeah.
Because you can't just take all technology away from them, because they need technology for school. Like, they need the internet to research things. Like, I feel like the only way you can ground a child now is to have them under your watch for 24/7, in that, like, right, you're going to have supervised internet time, but I will be sat next to you watching what you're doing. Like, it must be tough as a parent to navigate those waters. Like, what's your plan going to be? Tell me about your parenting style.
I think I'm just going to invest in some encyclopedias. So when I need to cut off the internet, we're going manual. We're going old school on it. No. But I don't know.
We would set homework over the internet, like the math.
Yes, no, I'm joking.
Had a maths website. No, but like, teachers make it worse as well, because we, like, their homework would literally go on, like, maths.com.
Yeah, go on, like, BBC Bite Size or something. And
But we would pay for a program where the teacher could log in and see that you've done your exercises and mark them on the website for you. So it's like, I guess, again, you can do like better parental blocks and stuff. You know, God, I'm very grateful to not be a parent.
Yeah, my son is at nursery, and my kind of only kind of port of conversation with them is through an app called Parent Admin, where I get to see updates of him and kind of read about his kind of like the kind of things he's doing, like with his like early stages learning and stuff like that, and the kind of things he's achieving. And it's like, that is it. And I currently work in education, and a lot of it is kind of like, I don't know, software like Earwig and stuff like that, where they can kind of chart progress and stuff.
By the time he's 16, he's going to have a chip in his brain where he can just Google what he wants. You've got no control. You're never grounding him.
Yeah. he may be getting, like, I don't know, a £10 taxi. I feel like the radius of where he could travel on my budget is far less than a kind of round trip to Maryland from New York, say.
The worst thing I ever did as a teenager in terms of that was I went to a convention in Heathrow, and I lived in Southeast London. Mm-hmm. No, I did tell my parents. I bought the tickets without telling my parents, but I did tell them after I bought them. But I lied to them and told them that I had friends that were going, which was only a half truth, because I did have friends that were going. But I was 16, and these friends were people in their late 20s and early 30s I'd met online, mm-hmm. who I'd never met in person, and I was going on my own to meet these strangers in a convention hall in Heathrow. Jeez. And then I lied to my parents again. It wasn't a lie, but I decided I didn't want to get back from I didn't want to leave early to get back from Heathrow, so I told my parents that I was going to stay at one of their houses, and I actually stayed in a hotel room with this 27-year-old woman who I'd only met on the day, who I'd only ever met online. So, you know, kids can, I'm safe, I'm happy. We're still good friends now. I went to one of her children's christening years ago. But kids do some stupid ass shit, and I was pretty well educated, and I paid for all of that by getting a part-time job. So, like, you know, kids do stupid shit like charter jets and go and stay in hotel rooms with internet strangers.
Well, yeah, let's not shy away from the fact as well that as much as kind of like they have sheltered her from the limelight, mm-hmm. like Romy has been a model like in her kind of teen years, which like kind of like she's dipping her toe in it. So like if she does decide to become like to join the family business, as I often say on this podcast, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised. Do you know what I mean? Like, kind of.
Well, I did some internet digging, and there is a TikTok of a song that she sings. So it's, you can't see her face, you just hear a voice and you can see the lyrics. So it might not be her, but it does kind of sound like her. And it's a beautiful song. She's got a beautiful voice. If you can find it at Romy Croquette on, or Croquet on TikTok. So she's clearly interested in singing and mm-hmm. music, and she clearly has the, you know, comedic and a sense of editing. So yeah, I guess it's just her parents are probably just trying to be like, wait until you're old enough. But then if they're letting her model, well, then you've not kept her away from the limelight. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm talking myself in circles tonight.
Yeah, it is one of those, like, I don't know, tough subjects, because it's like we are talking about ostensibly a child here. We obviously talk about it in a lighthearted fashion. Like we're kind of trying to surmise or kind of speculate what the Sophia and Thomas Mars parenting styles are. And like, I'm sure they are, like, I think Sophia has said, like, she's tried to give her kids as much of a normal life as she mm-hmm. can, and it's like, that is commendable. Do you know what I mean? Especially where she's come from and the life she is in. And I imagine no matter how much you try and do that, if you mm-hmm. are Sophia Coppola, Thomas Mars, it's gonna be fucking hard.
Oh God, yeah. I think the nicest thing about this, like, it's the best case scenario. I mean, we don't know what went on behind closed doors. We don't know what happened to her when they found out and when it was taken down and all that and all of that. Maybe she took it down herself because it got so big. I mean, you can't put the genie back in the bottle or whatever you call it. But the world has embraced her. People were charmed and delighted by her. this could have gone horrible. She could have posted it and people like, what a you like, imagine any other famous kid being like, I got grounded for trying to charter, I had to steal my dad's credit card and charter a helicopter. If that was one of the Kardashians, you'd be like, oh my God, they are so far out of reality. Oh my God, do you not realize people are dying? Oh my God, think of the... Whereas like, for the most part, everyone's like, oh my God, she's adorable. She's hilarious. She's so fun. Oh my God, like, Nepo Queen. So like, I feel like we've had a somewhat positive response to it, which is best case scenario, because the world can be very horrible to celebrities and celebrity adjacent people and women. So, you know, it didn't go as horrifically wrong as it could have gone.
Yeah. And it is interesting. Like, BuzzFeed have got a headline, which is my new favorite Nepo baby is Sofia Coppola's daughter. And it's kind of like that you've got stuff like that, and you've got, it's been reported about in the New York Times, which is
everywhere. It is everywhere because it was a viral sensation.
One second. Oh no, I'm just reading something. It is real. I thought for a second I'd read something that said that this was a parody, and it wasn't Sofia Coppola. It is very much Sofia Coppola's daughter. Phew. Otherwise, this would have been a wasted podcast.
We would see my heartbreak in real time.
Yeah, the April Fools would have very much been us on this case. It would have
been.
Anything else to add to the fiasco?
Just, I really hope that there's a long con to this. And like, she's what, 16 now? That in 2 years' time we get part two. That she just, you know, on her 18th birthday, she's just like, part two, here's my pasta. Like, I'd love that.
Yeah, or like, where's the, like, I'm surprised this hasn't been like, a viral kind of SNL skit already.
SNL were always like a year behind.
they're waiting for the day that she's old enough in the limelight and she can host, and they'll be like, that's when they'll do the part two as an SNL skit when she's hosting. Yeah. That would be fantastic. I think before we leave this, we must talk about, obviously Ari is sent out for ingredients, vodka pasta. Do you know? And I feel like we need to impart some wisdom to the listeners as well. So do you know how to make vodka pasta? Do you have any idea?
I know how to make a really good arrabbiata sauce, but I've never made a vodka sauce.
So a vodka sauce would be two tablespoons of olive oil, one banana shallot or an onion, like half an onion finely chopped.
But she was on the right track then with her shallot. She was right.
Yeah. Three cloves of garlic crushed, quarter of a tablespoon of chili flakes, tomato puree, vodka, double cream, penne or rigatoni, some Parmesan cheese, and a handful of basil to garnish on top. So
that's not too dissimilar. So an arrabbiata, you wouldn't have the vodka or the cream. So, you know, we're all there almost.
Yeah, and I said it on Twitter, and I think I speak for the internet here, is I think part two to this video is the most anticipated part two in the whole Coppola canon. And I'm looking at you, Francis. We love The Godfather part two over here on this podcast, but it's not as eagerly as anticipated as finding out how to make that vodka pasta from Romy Mars.
I've never seen The Godfather 2, and I know which one I'm more looking excited to eventually watch.
Well, that's a perfect place to end this conversation, Claire. Thank you so much for joining me to kind of sift through this, do some light internet kind of sleuth work. Where's best to find you in the amazing W-rated podcast?
So you can find me at Claire Ellen Hope, Claire without an I, on Twitter and Instagram. W-rated pod is there as well. We had just finished our Road to Razzies season, where we did an episode on each of the 2023 Razzie nominated films. You can also catch some of our older episodes from IMDb's bottom 100 worst movies, and we hope to come out with some more soon. But my co-host very selfishly has decided to go and see her father in Australia. So rude. Like, what is she thinking? But when she returns from such a wonderful trip, hopefully with a kangaroo for me, we will be back up and recording with some new episodes.
Amazing. Well, again, thank you so much for joining me. If you'd like to get in touch with the podcast, you can do so by heading over to all the socials. So that is Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and Letterboxd. Or at Caged In Pod, or you can drop us an email. If you know Ari, if you know if he's well, if you know if the babysitter is well.
I just need to know if they are employed, if they are okay. Do we need to start a crowdfunder? Do they have somewhere to live? Just, you know, I know I shouldn't be worried about a cis white man in New York. I mean, I'm implying gender and sexuality there. But, you know, I'm just worried.
Well, yeah, drop me an email at cagedinpod@gmail.com. If you enjoyed this episode or any other episode of the podcast, please, 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 please head on over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this right now. Leave a 5-star rating or review. And if you can leave a review, always remember to let us know, what does Bill Murray say to Scarlett Johansson at the end of Lost in Translation? So guys, as ever, I've been Petros Patsilivas, your guide through the crazy world of the Coppola family tree. Remember to keep it caged in, and I'll catch you next time.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
This podcast is presented by the Breadcrumbs Collective, home of the Pod Charles Cinecast, Caged In Coppola Connections, A Drooptown Limerie, Maine, Franchised, and many more to come. Our shows are all presented ad-free and made possible by listeners like you. Please support our shows by subscribing, leaving ratings and reviews, and becoming patrons at patreon.com. If you'd like to learn more about Breadcrumbs, head over to breadcrumbscollective.com.
Breadcrumbs. It's more than a podcast network. It's family.